right. Wasn't that great? It's exciting to hear what God is doing around the world. And next week, we're going to hear from our South Africa team. Yeah. So they're going to bring some exciting news. And just thankful for all this God's doing around the world. And we get to be a part of what Jesus wants to do. And, you know, I was just during worship today just thinking how good God is. And what a privilege it is that we get to come and worship Him and seek His face. And just after many years of walking with Christ, just how anytime you come into His presence, how fresh and how amazing He is to us. Amen. Today I wanted to start a little two-week thing that we're going to go through little messages to kind of get us kicked off for this fall. And I titled this basically based upon what we feel like is a tagline we use that really articulates what our mission and our vision is as a church. We are reaching our city to change the world. When God spoke to us and gave us a vision about coming to Greenville, North Carolina many years ago, we believed that from Greenville, North Carolina, we could make a difference. That Jesus didn't just save us and draw us to Him, to walk with Him, but He saved us for a reason. Pastor Eddie has done a wonderful job over the last 2 weeks teaching us and explaining to us how our lives have purpose. And we need to live our lives with a sense of purpose. That when we are a part of God's family, as we are His people called by His name, as His people, we have a purpose. And we identify not only in our identity as Christians with our purpose, but we identify with not our calling, but the God of our calling. And as we identify with the God of our calling, we really find out who we are and what we're all about, but more importantly, what His calling is all about, because it's all about Him. So today we're reaching our city to change the world. And we focus it and explain it in three ways. Number one, Christ. Number two, people. And number three, mission. We want to be very intentional, very deliberate, very focused on what Jesus has called us to do as we launch into this fall and extend it to 2015, our 25th year anniversary, that we're all about loving Christ, that Jesus Christ gave His only begotten Son. Why? Because of love. Because of His love for humanity, because of His love for your life. And every one of our lives in this room today, we are a reflection. We are living epistles known and read by all men. You have a story. You have a calling. You have a reason that Jesus touched your life because of love. Amen? Because He loves you. Because He cared for you. He touched you. He drew you out of darkness and to His marvelous light so that you can know Him and walk with Him. And not only know Him and walk with Him and experience life and life more abundantly, but also engage in what He's calling us as His people, His bride, His church, in Greenville, North Carolina, and the body of Christ, what He's calling us to do, not only in our city, but around the world. We're thinking globally, but we're acting locally. We're engaged in a lot of different places in this city to see His name glorified, to see His name high and lifted up, to see people not get enamored with GCF or not get enamored with a person or an individual, but get enamored with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's who we want to see. We want people to know Him and to walk with Him. So we're all about loving Christ. We're all about serving people. And we're all about pursuing God's mission. We're thinking globally and acting locally. Matthew chapter 9. So we're going to look at two things. Number one, we're going to talk a little bit about vision, God's vision. Because as Daniel said, God's vision is a tapestry, a thread that weaves through the entire Bible from the Old Testament. It's called the Old Testament concealed, the New Testament revealed, where everything from the Old Testament points to the cross, and everything from the New Testament points to Jesus, the cross, His subsequent resurrection, how He conquered death, hell, and the grave, and how His passion is to see people from around the world come to the saving knowledge of Him. We're going to talk about vision a little bit, and we're also going to talk and blend into next week about what is the vehicle for the vision, what is the vehicle for any vision that God has called us to become is faith. It's not about skill sets, although that can be a part of it. It's not about your your hard skills in life, your education, your formal training, all that can be a part of it. It's not about who you know or what you don't know or your technical abilities or your knowledge base. It's not about that, although that can blend into it. It's really about, do we believe that He can do exceeding abundantly beyond all that I can ask or think? To travel on a plane 35 hours to go to another nation and speak to hundreds of people, that doesn't happen because you just wish it so. It happens because you take a step. You choose to believe that if you go, He is going before you to prepare the way, open up hearts, and touch people's lives. It's because you choose to believe that in the midst of opposition, there's more for you than against you. It's because you choose to believe that He loves you enough to help you overcome your deficiencies, your insecurities, your inadequacies, your depression, your oppression, your past, your present, and launch you into the purpose of His future for your life. Are we awake this morning? Do we believe? Can we believe? The vehicle for vision is all about faith and knowing that He is well able to give us the land that He's called us to possess. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 37, Jesus was going through all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And seeing the people, He felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. And He said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." Harvest is plentiful, and the workers are few. So God's heart is for the harvest. God's heart is to engage His people in the harvest, to help them be involved in some way, shape, or form. Last week, Pastor Eddie talked about the seven pillars of society and finding our place and our purpose. And through this vision, we realize, hey, we can make a difference because God's heart is for humanity. His heart, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. His heart is to help people overcome. His heart is to help people be restored from the pains of life, from the disappointments, from the tragedies of life, from the suffering of life. And He came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Recently, the verse in Isaiah 60, verse 1 through 3, speaks to us greatly because it says, "Arise, shine." We sang about this morning. "For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord," everybody say the Lord. "The Lord. The Lord will rise upon you and His glory will appear upon you. And nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising." So here's the question. What do we have to do to make light arise on us? How hard do you have to work? How much effort does it take? Arise, shine, for your light has what? Come. Everybody say come. Come. Arise, shine, for your light has what? Come. The light of the gospel. The light of the glory of His presence. The light of His grace. The light of His goodness. The light of His joy. The light of His life. As vessels. As living letters, stories of grace, stories of the light of Christ and the backdrop of the world and globally what we see happening and the pains and the tragedies and some of the darkness and horrific situations that are going on around the globe that are grievous in our culture today, the contrast grows ever greater between that which is light and that which is dark. And God has a way of working situations like this to cause humanity's heart to be plowed open, to open their eyes to see their need for God, their need for hope, their need for a breakthrough in their lives. Isaiah 52, let me read you this scripture. I'll comment on it. Next week, we'll look about faith a little bit. And then I want to read you a little story to kind of help make a point out of this today. Isaiah 52, 7 through 10. Isaiah is writing, and Daniel kind of touched on this a little bit. And he's talking about, from a prophetic standpoint, kind of what this might look like. A word of encouragement to those who are returning from the exile, to the small remnant of Jews who had stayed in Jerusalem in a devastated place. He said, "How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, 'Your God reigns.'" In the midst of what we see in the Middle East, your God reigns. In the midst of some of the tragedies that have taken place in our world and some of the cities going on, your God reigns. Throughout history, the thread of God's sovereign will and purpose, He reigns. He reigns over every circumstance. He reigns over every situation. He reigns in every valley, every despairing place. He reigns. He's in control. "Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. They shout joyfully together, for they will see with their own eyes when the Lord restores Zion. Break forth, shout joyfully together, you waste places of Jerusalem. The Lord has comforted His people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared His holy arm in the sight of all the nations, that all of the ends of the earth may see the salvation of our God." You know, salvation is not only the place where we encounter Christ, and our eyes are open, and we see our need for God, and we see the cross, and we see what Jesus did for us, and we repent of our sin and ask Jesus to take out our heart of stone and give us a new heart so that we can become that new creation in Christ. But salvation is also a process of transformation, deliverance, change, where we're being changed from one image of glory to the next. Matthew Henry, in commenting about the good news, said this: "It is not meant so much of the common post or the messenger sent, expressed by the government to disperse the proclamation, but rather of some of the Jews themselves, who being at the fountainhead of intelligence, had early notice of it, and immediately went themselves or sent their own messengers to all parts to disperse the news, and even to Jerusalem itself, to tell the few who remained there that their brethren would be with them shortly. Speaking of all the exiles coming back to Jerusalem, for it is published not merely as a matter of news, but as a proof that Zion's God reigns. For in that language it is published, they say unto Zion, 'Thy God reigns.'" Today, every time you walk out in the city, you're at the grocery store, marketplace, you engage, you encounter someone, and you talk to them, or you pray for them, or you are nice to them, you extend a hand of grace or something, you're declaring God reigns. In the midst of maybe at times when you're discouraged and you feel like quitting, and somebody comes up and encourages you, it's a declaration that God reigns. Every time you're fighting and you feel like quitting, giving up, and you feel hopeless and despairing, the voice of heaven comes, says, "Hey, be strong and of good courage. God reigns." And whenever we're working and we're serving and doing what God's called us to do, we're declaring He reigns. He reigns. Rick Warren, the great pastor of Saddleback Community, speaking. Well, I'm going to hold that for next week. You'll have to come back and hear that story. All right. There's my hook. All right. A man was driving his car when he saw an old lady stranded on the side of the road. He saw that she needed help, so he stopped his Pontiac near her Mercedes and got out. He smiled, and while he was approaching her, still she worried as nobody had stopped for hours. Moreover, he did not look safe as his appearance was so poor and shabby. He could see how frightened she was, so he tried to calm her. "I'm here to help you. Don't worry. My name is Brian Anderson." The tire was flat, so he had to crawl under the car. While changing the tire, he got dirty and his hands were scarred and cut and messed up. When the job was done, she asked how much she owed him for his help. Brian smiled. He said, "If you really want to pay me back, Next time you see someone who needs help, give that person the needed assistance and think of me. At the same evening, the lady stopped by a small cafe. The place looked dingy, and she saw a waitress nearly 8 months pregnant wiping her wet hair with a towel. The waitress had a sweet, friendly smile, although she had been on her feet the whole day. The lady wondered, how could someone who's so little be so kind and giving after a long day to a stranger? And then she remembered Brian. The lady had finished her meal and paid with a $100 bill. The waitress went to get her change, and when she came back, the lady was gone. She left a note on the napkin, "You don't owe me anything. Somebody once helped me. Just like now, I'm helping you. If you really want to pay me back, do not let this chain of love end with you." The waitress found four more $100 bills under the napkin. That night, the waitress came home earlier. She was thinking about the lady and the money she left, and she was wondering how the lady could know how much she and her husband needed that money. Especially now when the baby will soon arrive, she knew that her husband worried about that, so she was glad to tell him some good news. She kissed him and whispered, "Now everything will be all right. I love you, Brian Anderson." Your God reigns. Every time we show a hand of grace, we extend our hand of love, we reach our city, you can change the world. Not because of us. It's not by might that a man prevails. It's not by our will or our might. It's because we say, "I identify with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." And we are co-laboring with him this day, saying, "God, your will, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Amen. Let's all stand and pray. And then Pastor Eddie's going to come and tell us about our life group fair. Father, we thank you today for your grace. Lord, help us to realize as your people, called by your name, we are your hands and feet. Lord, it's not about what we know. It's about the love we show, how we care for people, how we connect with people, and how we communicate your gospel. So we launch into this year, Father. Go before us. Prepare the way for the vision that you've called us to walk in. And help us to trust you like we've never trusted you before. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Mike. What a great story. Wasn't that a great story?